ride with, roll it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see laid back, that's just my drive in. I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in. I'm the one she wanna ride with, roll it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see laid back, that's just my drive in. I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in. She wanna ride with me cause I'm cool. Hit the highway, then I cruise. Seat back, music blasted, that's just how I do. Win more than I lose, so when the most pick, I get chose. She break it down, roll it up, light hit, then we blow. Man, for now, I'ma live in the moment. No hands drive on my knees. I'm fresh, and I'm a flashy nigga. Get the picture, I'm after that cheese. And I know they gonna let me on the mic too. Ain't no question what I might do. Been a man since high school. Whoever wanna test me, this a crash course. Head of my time like fast forward, bitch on a man boy. And if you don't believe me, then just watch. Top down while I ride, ride with a bad bitch on my side. Shades on top of my eyes. If I hit the clutch, gas gone, that's just how we ride. Nigga, I'm cruising.
She ride with, roll it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see lay back, that's just my drive in. I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in. I'm the one she wanna ride with, roll it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see lay back, that's just my drive in. Come on, I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in.
Well, I ain't never gotta tell her hop in. She gon' jump right in, we take a trip. Inhale, exhale, she ask you first, then pass the split. We hop, windows down with that music up, we rock. She only wanna smoke that pot, and kick it with a stand-up guy. I know it's my fault, it ain't your bag. She rather kick it with a nigga with swag. I don't boast, but sometimes I brag. And blow cash when I pop them tags. She ain't entertained with no lame. She rather ride with me and switch lanes. Then she smiled at me and said I got to be one of the illest niggas she seen. Her hair blowing that wind, and we riding off in that zone. She froze, then froze quick while she was snapping pics with her phone. I'm all about I like Illuminati. Don't rock time for the funk with Molly. Why they on J's, I be rocking Roddy. You looking for your bitch, then she right beside me. We cool.
Oh, she ride with, yeah. Hold it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see lay back, that's just my drive in. I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in. I'm the one she wanna ride with, roll it up, get high with. We do this all the time, it really ain't nothing, that's just us vibing. Radio to the max, see lay back, that's just my drive in. I got a whole lot of time, you gon' hop in.
Talking brewski, Larissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewski, Larissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Larissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Larissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Larissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday. Welcome to Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Rodney Daniels with us.
What's up guys? Happy Friday.
And we've got Pat Brown with us.
She here. I'm here. I am arrived.
She's here. So, Pat, how was your week?
My week was, it was interesting. I started out, I was, talking to this girl and, it seemed like it was going to go hot and heavy and then I had to drop it.
Oh,
so, yeah. So the week started out really promising. And then it was like, nah.
So what made you have to drop it?
She's a smoker. I don't do, that's my non-negotiable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like cigarettes or marijuana?
Oh, marijuana's fine.
Okay. Marijuana's fine. Okay, good, good.
It's okay. You could actually, you can't get physically addicted to marijuana. You psychologically, you can get addicted, but weed is a whole different bag, man. I know very few people that ever actually really quit.
Okay.
They've paused. You know, they've had these, you know, little hiatuses from smoking cigarettes, but they don't really, can't really get over it. So that's a non-negotiable.
No. Well, you know, everybody's got their non-negotiables, their deal breakers.
Yeah. My father also, that's a thing. He passed and he was a longtime smoker.
Okay.
And yeah. So.
So you just don't want to deal with that again.
Uh-huh. He had throat cancer. And so, yeah. So I'm sure it has a little to do with that too, but it's just, I don't want to do it.
What if they were like willing to like, you know, quit? Would you?
Yeah,
like?
My friend said that, and I just don't believe people. I believe you can quit. There are some people who can't quit, but I don't think you should quit for me. I think you should quit because you want to quit, right? And so I think if you quit for me, then you're going to cheat. You know, you're going to, you know, because you're not doing it for yourself.
You go outside and be in the backyard. Like,
exactly.
I'm about to go to the store real quick.
And why are you tripping? I just said one and all that kind of thing, so I don't want to deal with that. Yeah.
And we also have a caller. This is Marissa. Who do we have on?
It's Richie Redding. What up?
Hey, Richie.
What's up, Richie?
I just came in at a heavy moment. I'm sorry I interrupted. I came right on throat cancer. That was, ooh.
Wow. I don't wish it on nobody.
No. What's up, Patty? How you doing, girl?
I'm fine. Were you ever a smoker?
Yes.
Are you still a smoker?
Yes. I have a cigar once a week now.
To my point. See, once a week.
I used to smoke a solid pack a day.
Oh, wow. But a pack a day to once a week is like...
Nothing, really.
Still a smoker.
But like, it's just the fact, like,
I think it's great that he reduced the amount of cigarettes he smoked, because for his health, absolutely, yeah.
But like,
yeah,
even
well,
if
I mean, considering that it used to go along with like a gram of Coke a day, it's definitely in the right direction.
So how much did you reduce your Coke usage to? That's still the same.
Consumption nicotine is not even an issue.
All right.
So,
did I make it weird? What's up?
No. Well, can you repeat that? Because we kind of talked over you for a second.
Oh, I said when you take cocaine out of the picture, nicotine is really just not a big deal.
Yeah. So how long ago did you stop cocaine?
9.5 years. Actually, probably 10 for that. I've been completely sober for 9.5 years.
Oh, wow, cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Davey, can you turn him up a little?
I know your dealer is like, damn, I lost another one. I was going to buy a swimming pool.
Yeah, actually, it went the other way around. He went to jail, and I was like, damn, I got to quit doing coke.
Oh. is a drug dealer like a barber? Like, you don't want to go to another drug dealer? You just want to keep the same drug dealer you have?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, he knows how my part works and my calyx and shit, you know?
You say again?
He knows how my part works and my calyx and shit.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Yeah. Like, they know exactly what you want and what you need, and... I got one that like delivers and
wow, nice.
You know,
yeah. Well, there's nothing worse than a shady drug dealer. Yeah,
right.
There's this one dude in Philly that you had to get into his car, and he had like the big jacked up Bronco, and as soon as you get in the car, you hear. He's got two canary dogs in the back, which are the dogs that like the Aryan Brotherhood uses to guard their meth labs.
Oh God.
Oh shit.
Okay.
And you're just like, yo, can I get this $40 worth of drugs and not get my throat ripped out by these demon dogs real quick?
Yeah.
Or like, can you just meet me in the bathroom like a decent human being?
Exactly. Right. Exchange this, make this transaction. Yeah.
Right, but at least it's actually $4 worth of drugs, because there's nothing worse than like thinking that you get in a certain amount and all of a sudden you get home and you look at that shit like, oh, I can't get high off of this.
And I don't have my return receipt.
Right? Okie doke, right?
So what were you guys talking about before I made it weird?
Oh, so
you didn't make it weird.
No, that was perfect.
So, Pat was saying that she met this girl, and so she thought that they were getting along, and then she had to end it, and she ended it because the girl was a smoker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, did you end it, or did you just not really start it, Pat?
I mean, we were talking hot and heavy. I mean, it seemed like it had momentum. And then we were talking, and I said...
But hot and heavy can just be a jump off, right?
Nah, it can be. I think, you know, you start clicking with somebody, and you start, like, you saying to yourself, okay, and this is, I can do, I mean, because you start clicking with them on a emotional level, on a intellectual level, and I think that gets you aroused by them, you know, because they're smart.
But did it get to a physical level, though?
No, no, but that's what I'm saying. It easily led to that, but it didn't because we were talking on the phone and, you know, we were actually talking about drugs and stuff like that. And you know, you hear, and I was like, are you smoking? And she's like, yeah. She said, they just closed, though. I said, nah, that's cigarettes. She's like, yeah, I've been smoking. And then she's like, I said, how long have you smoked? She's like, since I was 21. And she's like 38. And I was like, wow.
Peace.
She says, that's a deal breaker? I was like, yeah, that is a deal breaker.
But what if she didn't smoke around you?
It's still, no, you.
It's not the cigarette smoking. It's
the smoke. It's the on your breath. It's in your hair. It's in your clothes. All that kind of thing. I don't want to, you know, even like my father was a smoker, my mother wasn't. And, you know, you kiss them, you could smell it all the time on him and whatever. So, no, it's a whole part. It's a lifestyle, you know. And then their teeth eventually get a little dingy. Their lips get a little dingy. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
But what if what
I'm
if
still
you,
stuck on that two girls?
I don't know. I actually went up and did this joke. I went up and did this joke about this situation yesterday, and I got some laughs off of it. But I was like, am I being shallow with that? And people were like, nah, you're not. So I think a lot of people are like that. It's like, that is just, yeah, I'd rather you smoke weed because weed, you don't.
Oh, any day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just love that, like, two dudes can, like, show up naked to meet each other. But you gotta, that's about the intellectual level.
No,
that's exactly right. That's right.
Now,
up,
say
right
this.
Right
wait. This is not this.
That's right.
No, but I'm actually.
Go ahead.
No, I could say,
first date starts with a U-Haul. Like, come on, girl.
Yeah. No, I get that. I mean, I could have a physical relationship with a woman and then not. You know, I'm not expecting anything from it, but this was built around the fact that, you know, we were trying to actually meet each other for a substantial something. So,
how did you meet this young lady?
She hit me up in Instagram.
Oh, okay. Your DMs was popping.
Yeah. You know what? I don't do bad on Instagram. I have never got on a dating site, but I was like, I don't think I need one. I just need to keep posting these cute ass pictures, son. So we met, and then we were trying to meet up and whatever, and you know, conversation seemed good and all that, and she like, shit, you smoking?
Okay,
that better be drugs.
I'm like, I wanted her to say, yeah. I was like, this, I'm just having a blunt. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That better be illegal, lady.
that better be illegal.
So,
did I ever tell you about my cousin that got in that, like, so she's basically my first out cousin, but she still doesn't think that she is
gay.
Does it sound familiar at all, Pat?
No, she doesn't think she's gay?
Okay.
So no, are you asking me that? Did you tell me this story before? Yeah. No, I don't think I've heard this story before.
Okay. So my cousin who lives in Maryland, she was like the cool cousin that always babysat us, and it was always fun when she babysat. So she's like one generation above, you know what I mean? Like almost in between my parents and us.
Right.
And married her high school sweetheart who she got pregnant by right after high school. Got a kid. they then adopt another kid. So they're like, the kids are like 14 and 10 when this happens, that when the L word was popular, she goes on the L word chat site, meets some woman on there, and, you know, unbeknownst to hubby, she's like sexting with her basically. I mean, this is like late 90s, she's sexting with her. And then the first time they ever meet, this woman shows up with a U-Haul. And
is
she
that for
moves
real?
From Baltimore to Illinois to go live with this chick, right?
What?
Wow.
Yeah. And my mom's like super Christian, and it was like the hardest thing was like for her somehow was with my mom, and you know, my mom got over it or whatever. But so she refused, so she stands by that she's not a lesbian, she's just in a lesbian relationship. And she like really like planted a flag on this idea. But here's the crazy part, okay? This is the part that is very worthy of discussion. So she never had a job. I think like babysitting us was like the only job that this grown ass woman ever had. And when she moved, and that was like okay for hubby somehow. He let that fly. But when she moves with this chick, she's like, I want you to live here, but you have to contribute, so you got to get a job. So she gets on the phone with hubby, who she just left, and says, I need to pay rent, so I'm going to need you to send me money. And this
wow.
dude just has like a blue collar, like regular workaday dude job, like punches the clock kind of thing. And he starts sending her money, but it's with the understanding that it's just going to be short term. She's going to come back soon.
That is a
Wait,
cool dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
He started sending her money. Like.
This was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And this dude is still sending money every
now
month.
He's on the verge
so
of
So his
stupidity.
Wife that he's still married to.
He's can still,
live
they're
with
still
some
married?
Chick.
They're still married?
Huh?
They're still married?
Still married. He's still holding on to this insane idea that this bitch is coming back.
And so,
right?
Yeah, but they both must be holding on to something because she didn't get a divorce either. So she's still the lesbian woman?
Yes, yeah, so with the same chick. Well, why would she get a divorce if that's going to let her off the money train?
Right.
But yeah. If I was a woman that stand with and she's and this is my she we're living together, we're in a relationship. I have to let you have to get off that gravy train. You can't stay with me and be at because it's that's
don't nobody ever say get off the gravy train. You stay on that gravy train until the gravy train stops.
Because nobody gives until
the gravy runs
nobody
out.
Gives you money without an attachment. Not even your parents. You don't get money without an attachment.
But at first, you know, when it first happened, it's like, oh well, she's an asshole for that. But after 6 months, maybe a year, he's definitely the asshole in this situation.
She is the asshole?
But, no, but he is.
No,
I don't think he's an asshole. I think he's really delusional and he's on the verge of stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel really bad for him because he's delusional.
But, like, has he had other relationships?
Speaking of delusion, all right, I got to paint you a better picture of how delusional this situation is.
Okay.
So when they were living together for the last couple of years, she had her own bedroom downstairs, right? It's bright pink. At the time, she had Britney Spears posters and Titanic posters on the wall.
Wow.
And she watched, when she's like 35 or whatever, 30, 35, she watches like TRL on MTV all the time and dresses like a teen, like, you know, dresses from Hot Topic type of thing.
Right.
So, let's say, I'm gonna estimate, let's say she's about 300 pounds, give or take 5.
That's a start. And so, I hope you said
I am not a circus worker, but granted, that's what I would put it at.
Right.
So she's at my so she comes up for like an annual shopping trip with my sister and my mom, right? And they go shopping and they're like walking around these stores and
uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Hello?
Richie, are you there?
Ain't that a blip?
I know,
the
right?
This is the
middle of
right,
the story.
Right.
Oh, okay.
This is good, by this way.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
it's a good
yeah. Yeah.
Richie, are you back?
Lagunitas.
Okay. Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Yeah. Lagunitas.
Oh my God, this is very good.
Yeah.
Lagunitas.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
I think I probably got it at the 7-Eleven around the corner.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Good. So yeah. It's
they're pretty popular. They're pretty popular, yeah.
Yeah.
We have them on draft at my job.
Oh, I like this, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Good.
Yeah.
That one's good. This Montauk's not too bad.
I'm going to get into that Montauk. I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Richie, right, you back?
Richie. Richie's back.
David,
maybe not
back?
Quite.
All right, Richie, when you can hop on, if you can hear us or when you can, we're working on some technical stuff here. But in the interim, Rodney, how was your week?
My week was good. I just, worked the 9-to-5 and that was fun.
Hey, we got him back. We got Richie back. All right. So there's the annual shopping trip.
Yeah. There's the annual shopping trip and they're going around these different stores and they go into like Guess or something like that. And she picks up this like,
guess what size
tiny,
I am?
Tiny little like midriff top and holds it up in front of her that like, the thing is like the
covers
whole shirt
one titty.
Is like between her boobs. Like that's the space between her boobs. And she's like, "What do you think? Can I pull this off?" My sister's like,
"You can't pull this like, on."
We keep looking. So the next day, she's a smoker, right? So which would be a deal breaker for Pat. We know
300 pounds is a deal breaker for Pat.
Shit.
Your weight class. Yeah, that's way out of my weight class.
Oh, you know, my
I got small hands.
No,
I can't do that.
And married to a dude. So the next day, she's outside, and my parents have this, like, they have this deck outside, and it's a full glass door. You know, it's like a regular door frame. My dad comes downstairs and he sees her in a t-shirt and a pair of undies. And he's like, her ass was wider than the door frame. Like there was ass missing on both sides because the door frame was blocking it. Right. And he's just like, oh shit. Yeah, girl. So she comes back inside from smoking a cigarette. She gets all embarrassed. She's like, oh my gosh, Uncle Mark, I'm so sorry. Your neighbors must have been like, who is that cute little thing smoking a cigarette? Like, what? And his jaw drops. Like, they probably don't even think I'm old enough to be smoking. They don't know.
Like, little thing.
What?
Well, it sounds like she's the delusional one. I thought this story was about how he was delusional.
Dude, I mean, the snake's eating its own tail on this one. Like, just... The whole thing is so
This is just a clusterfuck of delusion.
It sounds like she is a diabolical genius to me, okay? Like, she has that...
Needs to write a book.
Right, needs to write a book, right? You're 300 pounds, but yeah, you still got this man paying your rent, and you still got a bitch that you're living with. Come on now.
Yeah, she needs to write a book.
Like, she needs to write a book.
For real.
Her pussy is gold, or I don't know. Understand
charge self confidence.
I am height weight proportional, and I pay my own fucking rent. Damn.
Yeah, I hear that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a big booty, and I can't find somebody to pay my rent.
I need to do. I'm doing something wrong. Though.
What was that, Richie?
Where do you buy that kind of self confidence? I'm in. Like,
I don't know. I thought that was the whole point of cocaine.
7% body fat, and like, I don't want like strange.
You know what? I think people have a. I think absolutely people have a picture in their head, and that picture is stuck. And so I feel like she's just from what you say that she watches and whatever. She's stuck in maybe being a teenager, a 17-year-old girl, and looking at herself in the mirror, and that's how she appears to herself.
She has positive body dysmorphia.
Yeah. Absolutely. She does. Yeah. She's 300 pounds and she is 110 in her head. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This tiny little girl that your neighbors neighbors are saying, who is that thing? Not a little thing. Who's that thing outside smoking?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm wearing tight, like,
know
size.
Willie Anderson smokes.
I don't know. She needs to bottle that confidence because I'm walking around in like two jeans and I'm feeling like a 16. Like, you know, it's just, that's a lot. That is a lot.
That is a lot.
So,
So I just didn't want you guys to think that you had the trashiest family here, so I had to.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something.
I realize that now about, like, families.
Yeah.
All that, you know, the shit you see on television, these little perfect little families, that's not real life. That's only TV. That's only TV.
Yeah.
Well, even if that family is perfect, they're still, like, just a stone's throw away from being white trash. Like, there's one side of every family.
So remember, like, the Seventh Heaven, you know, you got a preacher and
that guy's a child molester.
I was like, how apropos is that? It's like,
I was just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, even the fake ass family is some within it is there is a pervert somewhere. It's always lurking.
But then I was like, how accurate is that though? Like, because like that would be the guy that'd be a child molester is the guy that's the preacher. Like,
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn.
But
there's a whole side to my dad's family that doesn't get invited to funerals. Are they necrophiliacs?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Who died?
Better
when it's cold.
They only show up at funerals. They don't get invited to, like, weddings or anything. And I found this out at my grandmother's funeral. And I'm sitting there, like, crying my eyes out because I'm laughing so hard because my uncle was telling me all this stuff. That apparently there was a, like, you know, in the 70s or something, there was a fight at a funeral that turned into one of these, and they show up hammered, you know, and one of them goes, they start throwing hands, and the other one goes, I'm getting my pistol. And the other one's like, not before I'm getting mine. And there's a McGeaney family shootout at a wedding.
At a funeral.
On the streets of Baltimore.
Yeah. We're going to pack that coffin.
Wow.
Wait. Move her over.
You ain't the only one. Yeah, it's going to be 2-3 dead ones in that one today.
So, Rodney, how was your week?
My week was good. I just, you know, worked the 9 to 5. And
what's the 9 to 5?
I am a server at a restaurant in Times Square.
Okay. Oh, so, you know, God bless you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Special breed of people right there.
No, yeah, just, yeah. But also just
sorry
the
about
sheer
that.
Number.
No, it's no problem.
The sheer number of people that must come in your restroom.
Yes,
it's time
we are constantly busy, and I like that.
Bombardo.
Like, the tips are pretty good normally. Yesterday I got $12 in quarters.
From a fresh table. That's something I would
do. They laid it out all nice for me, too, in the line.
That's something
it's like
do.
Laundry. So did you, well, last week it was Coffee Dick.
Yeah.
Coffee Dick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would have watched last week's episode.
Are we talking about the color or are we talking about the taste?
So we talk about my sex life quite often on Big Talking Briskies.
Yeah, we do.
Last week I gave a guy head and he hit me in the wrong spot and I gave him my Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
You said, what do you mean? Well, he hit you in the wrong spot. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
and a
yeah,
throw.
Like yeah, like I threw up all over this guy's dick.
Ah!
Bad. Yeah, it was real bad.
Oh, coffee dick and not in the good way.
Yeah. So, this week, though.
Oh,
my sex
Richie,
life guy.
Have you ever made a girl, coffee dick you? Have you ever had a, have you hit
no,
that,
it,
that
it
wrong
was,
back?
A belly full of cherries.
Oh.
Yeah, it was some weird skinny white
girl. Does that happen sometimes?
Like, oh my god, I didn't even eat because I'm so drunk. I didn't eat anything.
I'm asking the people that deal with
it. And it looks very scary.
I mean,
well,
wait, cherries?
Yeah,
that's an ugly coming up.
Yeah, that's all red.
Just
dark red too.
60 cherries.
It's like red and chunky.
The fact that it seemed like you counted them is something disturbing about that.
Yeah, no, that happens.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, Pat was asking if it happens. Like, because, like, you know, if you have, like, you know, like, you brush your teeth and you might gag sometimes if you put your toothbrush too far down your mouth when you're brushing your teeth. It's like.
No.
You know,
I know where the fuck my teeth are, and they ain't down my throat. Yeah.
No, but
like I get what you're saying. I
like,
your tongue. Gag reflexes from other things, but not necessarily a toothbrush, but okay.
But, like, yeah, so
oh,
it
God
happens.
Bless me for being a lesbian. Ah.
Yeah.
No, so it does happen.
Yeah. Pussy is just right there. You don't have to go any further in your throat. It's just right there.
Yeah, no, it's like it's a very special skill to get that dick all the way back there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But can't you simulate it, like make him feel like the dick is gone further, like you can hold it, like
Nope. Coming from
I'm just got,
okay,
I'm just
both of you said no, so I agree. I believe you. He's like no.
Right, no, you know. You can feel when it's back.
Because it's all the it's the warmth, right? From tip to
jab? Actually there's like a suction that happens when it gets to a certain part like of the back of your throat.
Okay.
Like it squeezes like your dickhead. It's really quite pleasurable.
Okay. Yeah. And you're talking about you're coming from a giver and a taker.
I like both. Of course.
Of course.
You know, got a dick and needs to be pleased too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? Absolutely.
I think you need to give lessons because that sounded pretty special.
Well, this week, though, it got kind of crazy because, like, I hooked up with this guy. He was 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really cute, like, mix. He's, like, Turkish and Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
So
he ain't telling nobody.
Right.
Yeah, because those two.
he's going
home straight.
Yeah, I went over his house and we were fucking in the living room, you know, getting it in.
Right.
And then, like, afterwards, like, I'm getting dressed, he's naked, and then all of a sudden his mom comes home.
What? Did she get y'all?
I had to run to his room and, like, hid in his closet and shit. Like,
wow.
We had to, like, wait for her to, like, go to the bathroom and he, like, snuck me
now,
out.
Now, is she Dominican or is she Turkish?
She was Dominican.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't trying to get cut by no Dominican mama.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, if she came in, he was going to have to scream burglar or something.
Right.
Yeah, basically.
I'm glad she came in when she came in, though, because she came in, like, 20 minutes earlier.
Exactly. It ain't
no amount of excuses that you can give to your mom why somebody's dick is in your mouth. And like,
also, let me translate this situation.
He's raping your mouth? What?
What was that, Richie?
That dude, let me translate. That dude was 16. He told you he was 20.
Don't do that. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it. I thought about that afterwards when I was running from the house.
Don't do the wiener on us. Don't do that.
So
the Anthony Wiener on us.
Why did he have a school uniform on? That was weird.
Backpack right there. Mathematics homework. Yeah.
So why did you ask me questions about algebra?
That was weird. But guys, I need to get ready to go to my show. This was awesome calling in and phone hanging out with you guys. Can I plug something real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so after a year of pitching a show that everybody loved at networks and they're like slapping their knee when we're in the room and then saying, no, we can't do that, it's too effed up. I finally decided to make it myself, and I started a production company called Not TV, and mm-hmm. we're just making web-based content. And the show that premiered last week is called Ratchet Ass Trivia, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's just a real fucked up trivia game. And so you can find it on Not TV, on YouTube, or Facebook, and it's Ratchet Ass Trivia.
Nice. Awesome.
The thing
Congratulations,
that got us kicked
man.
Out is the final round was what literally got us kicked out of Esquire magazine. It's a double or nothing round. So it's going great.
But you know what? That's an accolade in itself. It's so people I would watch it just because it got kicked out of Esquire magazine. Like let me see this shit that got kicked out of
it. It's going great.
Yeah. Like how ratchet was it? Yeah.
Now it's time for a game that we like to call Guess That Race. I'm going to read you a true crime, and you have to guess the race of the guy that did it. This woman, this female, a white lady in the room goes, no. Like, you don't want to play the game?
Absolutely not.
She's like, it's a no for the whole thing. It's like, okay. So, yeah, it's just as messed up as a game show that you would expect from me to have created. So,
I'll definitely
check
it out.
No, awesome. And where can everyone follow you on social media, your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz?
Everything is just at Richie Redding, RichieRedding.
Awesome. Redding. Well, have a good set tonight, and thanks for calling in, Richie.
Sure thing. Bye.
Take care, man. Bye-bye. Good to see you. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye. So yeah, no, like I've never actually completely thrown up, but I've definitely gagged a lot.
Oh yeah, well the gagging part is like normal.
But I gag, like, because I also brush my tongue, but like I gag
feel
a lot.
If my eyes are watering, then I'm doing it right.
Oh, I am so glad I am a lesbian. Wow. If I'm miserable, I know that I'm doing it right. That's what you're saying to me. That's what you're saying to me.
Well, so now, Pat,
do you absolutely love it though? Do you absolutely? I mean, I'm not asking you, Rodney. I'm asking
clearly.
No, but I think because I'm a lesbian, so it's something about it's almost sad that if you're a lesbian and if you don't like giving oral sex, some almost something sad about it. But so because women in heterosexual relationships, you have a little more options, I think. So you can have intercourse and you don't have to ever do that if that's not what you want to do. Do you love it though? Do you love giving, oral sex?
I would say that I don't necessarily love giving oral sex, but it depends on the guy. So like, I love the response. So like, if I like him and he's like really into it and like, there's like a good response, then I like that. But like, just the physical act of putting a dick in my mouth, not my favorite, but like, if I like kind of what's going on with him when I'm doing it. So there's some guys that like, yeah, I would say like, oh no, I like giving him head.
Right.
But then there's some guys I'm just like, no. Like, this is not, like, and it also depends on taste. Like, you know.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, because some guys taste gross, and you're just like, no. I heard that. But then, like, some guys actually taste good, and you're just like, oh, okay. Ooh, but, like, you know, it's just, I think that it's more, not.
Non-smokers are good. I have no idea.
I'm a smoker, so I'm fine with that. Actually don't like guys that smoke.
You're throwing
weed.
Those carcinogens in your own space,
you know,
your own little. Like, well, okay, like, ladies, yeah. I need
but that's
to let
like
you know.
Another thing too is that I've been reading articles that like women that smoke weed that they have problems like staying wet or getting wet because like the weed is supposed to like dry you out.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Like that's like I've read like a few articles about it and they're just like if you're having problems like staying moist or getting moist and if you smoke pot to like stop because it's drying you out.
Okay.
But I don't
that's
know.
If ever comes up, I'm going to ask that question.
That's why they have KY jelly.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had that that issue yet. Hoping to not have it, but I haven't had it.
I mean, but doesn't everybody have it, like, eventually? Like,
I think you do
when
eventually.
You get older, then when you get older, like...
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm talking about more so women that I've gone down on.
Oh, okay.
That has not been a problem. For me to say, hey, do you get high? Because nothing is happening down here.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like, I don't know. I think it's very difficult to not get wet from that, though. Like, I feel like that's probably more of, like, an intercourse problem.
Right.
I don't know, because you can find yourself, like, you're tasting your own, you feel like you're lubricating more than it is being lubricated.
Okay.
Like, 'cause you can taste her and whatever. And he's like, and if it's not more, 'cause I've had women that are just really, really, you know, abundant, Niagara. And then, not so much, but, for those.
Have you had squirters?
A few.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's always a surprise.
Okay.
I don't think there's a woman that says that knows that she's regularly does that. So, you know, I think it's just a surprise. You know, you get hit a certain area in, of the G spot, and you hitting it often and a lot, and she's aroused and whatever, and then you become that. But I don't think you can say that you are a squirter regularly. I don't think that happens to women on every occasion. So you can't pre-warn a woman like, hey,
BT dubs, I'm a squirter.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, you know.
I think it's more situational. When a woman does squirt with you, then do you just walk away like, oh, yeah, I made that
bitch. I'm a windshield wiper, right? It's just part of, it's just part of what happens, you know? Kudos to me. Right? Thank you for the compliment. Thank you. I'm going to have to wash my hair now.
Now, like, guys are really into that, but is that like, guys are like super into squirters. Is that something that like lesbians are really into, or is that just like, well, like shit happens kind of thing?
It's a shit happens for me. I think if I can make her have a multiple orgasm, then I think I've done my job. She squirts, then that's something extra. I don't look for it.
Right.
So yeah. This is something that's also been very interesting to me when it comes to like lesbians. Do you use toys? Some people use toys. Some people use strap-ons. Do you?
I have strap-ons, but I'm not the one. Like, so I have friends, lesbian friends that are more masculine in the sense that they identify with that masculine energy. And so they are typically more the aggressors or maybe the lesbian that may use a strap-on. But I am a person that if you want it, I have it for you.
Oh.
Yeah, I have the option for you. But if you don't want it, I'm not going to bring it in up.
Okay.
It's not something that it's not something that gets me off. I will do it if it gets you off. Yeah, but it does. But I have friends that literally when they strap on, they can come because they're in their mind, they are attached to this object. And so, they can come through, cause the mind is a powerful thing. So they can actually
come.
That's
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I have friends that, but for me, it's just, no, I have to take it out, remove it, throw it across the room. And then, and then we work with what I got down here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So if you want it, I got it for you. It's part of.
Wait, so you have like a whole closet full of like?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dildos and vibrators.
And the thing is that over time you will learn every woman's body is different. So if you have a dildo or something that connects to your strap on, you should buy another one for this person. To fit her.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that too, that you have to like buy different ones for different women.
Yeah. So if you're in a relationship with somebody, you're going to get one that is her liking.
Right. Right.
Yeah, her size.
Right.
The one that she likes. You know what? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's how you build up the dildo collection.
No. You scrap that other one. That's. Yeah,
you scrap the other one.
Yeah. You don't want to bring a used dildo to. I mean, you can. Well, this is what I say. If you're in a regular relationship with somebody, you're going to eventually get them one for them.
Right.
But so if you are, if I'm just doing this and it's a casual thing, we just getting there sexually, yeah, I'm going to give you what I have, you know, in the trove, right?
Right. Right.
But if this goes on to be a more permanent situation, I'm going to get you one for you.
Okay.
Did you like this size? Did you like this length? Did you like this width?
Oh, you go shopping.
Yeah, absolutely. did you like this color?
Right. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know why, but it is for women.
Huh.
So, Pat, what are your thoughts on the DOJ?
That is a serious different.
I know.
Segue,
I'm
right?
Yeah. There's no. It's like, all right. We've talked about clits. We've talked about dildos and dicks and.
Let's get a little right
let's
now.
Let's get in there.
Let's get in there. Well, this is and I read this and I was really outraged by it because the DOJ right now is suing. I think that's the right word. Suing Facebook, or not suing.
I think they were subpoenaed.
Subpoenaed. That is the word exactly. Subpoenaing Facebook to give anti-Trump, get information from anti-Trump profiles and accounts from Facebook, which is scary. Because think about it, why do they need this? And they're getting information like person's name, they're getting credit card information, who they send them out to. You get all those people's information. What do you need that for? What do you need protest groups' information for if you are, for one, you are the government entity that's in power right now, and these are anti-protest people against your establishment? So that could be, and we already have seen that he's a very petty, petulant guy, and to what extent will he use this to, give retribution to all these sites that are coming against him? We don't know what he will do with this information. So I find that, and they asked for this information from Facebook, and they didn't want the parties, I mean the protest parties, the anti-Trump parties, to know about it. And then Facebook petitioned to have at least be able to inform the anti-Trump Facebook accounts that the DOJ is asking for your information.
Well, shit, so, they haven't found me yet.
No. But think about how insidious that is. If they're asking for the information and you don't even know that
they're asking for it,
they're asking for it, and if Facebook is going to give it to them. So at this point, I think the entity that usually sues people on the rights of
ACLU.
ACLU is actually suing to have DOJ not to get this information, because I think it's very detrimental for them to have this information, and also it's like
absolutely.
A freedom of speech type of issue. If you have this much power to, you can actually squash and silence people's protests against you. And
easily.
I think, and then in this climate that we're in right now, it's very, very, it's very, very important that we don't lose our right to assemble and protest. And,
right.
And I think he's trying to slowly silence us through for Sessions, who doesn't care anything about the Constitution. He only tries is trying to please his president.
Yeah, his Sith Lord.
His Sith Lord, exactly. So I just find that people should be outraged by this.
Well,
not on either side of it. I mean, there's a Democrat in office next year, hopefully, and he does this to anti-Democrat.
Yeah.
If you have an anti-Democratic protesters out there, that president can do the same thing to you.
Well, I think that it started with the DOJ was trying to get the names and IP addresses for people that had logged onto a website that planned an inauguration rally in D.C.
Right.
And then I think that kind of was the Pandora's box that spread probably to Facebook and probably Twitter eventually.
Was that the women's rally? Because I know he wanted those people too.
So there was the women's rally, and then there was like another like the women's protest was one thing that happened inauguration day, and then there was like an anti-Trump protest that happened. And it was something like a million people had visited this website.
And they want all that information.
And they wanted a million names, IP addresses, everything associated with them. And that kind of got quiet. And I didn't really hear what the resolution was about whether or not the DOJ got the information or not. But now that you're mentioning it happening to Facebook, then it kind of makes sense that they probably got that information. And that led them to Facebook, because Facebook has more users than this million people that were on the website. I think that it's interesting to kind of see how social media is going to play into
this current situation that we're in the future, because Facebook had the Russian accounts that had, not only did they buy ad time to that were anti-Hillary, pro-Trump, they're finding out it was also pro-Bernie, pro-Jill Stein, that the Russian people and the Russian bots or whatever, agents.
And they have fake
accounts.
Blacktivist accounts.
Yeah.
So
and Muslims.
Right. So they were trying to set up a
racial divide.
A racial divide to in Trump's favor to try to separate and, you know, and conquer, basically.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. And the fact that people keep on
and fell for it. That
happens because this is the first time that we've been probably infiltrated like this. But the fact that people don't want to know about it, that is the question. Like, oh, it's not
that's
important.
That's fake news.
Yeah, that is the thing that really worries me. Like, are you prepared to follow this man down the road where all constitutional ideas and is squashed? Are you really willing to do that? Are you willing to say, oh, fake news about him and Russia, and so Russia is fake news to the point that you're going to disregard the fact that all our national intelligence has said that this has happened? Really? Are you going
to? Well, he says fake news.
And he's not even giving you any factual information as to why it's fake news.
Right.
He's never giving you any factual reason other than his word. So you are holding up his word against national security administrations that have facts and evidence based on their size, and he's just saying no, it didn't happen because I am so worried that if you believe this happened, that you think that my administration is somehow illegitimate.
But it is. But like it's
even if it is, you know, even if it is, you should be worried because if Russia or any entity decided that they wanted a Democrat for whatever reason to
right.
be. You would want that. You want a fair election. If you want to win, you want to win fairly. If you want to lose, I want to lose fairly.
Right.
And so that people are not upset about that makes me really crazy.
I'm kind of worried about the million people that visited that anti-Trump website and the information that was given about are these people in jail?
No.
Stopped on the streets?
We don't know that Facebook has given that information. Facebook, for one, petitioned that these people need to know about it before they do anything. And then the ACLU is suing the DOJ why do you need this information? You don't actually need this. And I think they're going to win that that lawsuit because there's no reason in the world that they need that information.
I don't think they're going
to
win.
It's not illegal to protest, so why do you need that information from the DOJ?
I think it's because it's the first step towards his dictatorship.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to win that in.
That's why I think
Gorge
that we're not going
and,
to win it.
And Thompson, all these conservatives on the high court, they couldn't even give him a reason for saying why the DOJ needs this.
No reason in the world that he needs this information.
They didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah, nobody stands up to him. And I feel like because the Republicans have been licking Putin's taint forever. Like, really.
Have they?
They started around Obama, where they were very, like, all the conservatives, like, all of those, like, Sean Hannity's or whatever, they started being pro-Putin around
Obama.
But
he's not establishment. I don't think establishment GOP like, have been supporting Russia. Supporting Putin.
Not like your McCain's, but, like, I feel like if you start looking at, like, your Paul Ryan's and your Mitch McConnell's, that they've been pro-Putin since Obama because Putin hated Obama. And then they were just, like, they've been
by extension hated Hillary, right?
Right. And so I think that they kind of started with this, although...
Trump's interaction with Putin and Russia goes like far beyond. He has been involved with Russia since Gorbachev, and that he actually wanted in the 80s under Reagan to be in charge of like some sort of communication committee between Russia and the U.S.
Right. He wanted to be an ambassador, didn't he?
Yeah. But like not even just like an ambassador. It was like it was not as official as an ambassador, but like kind of like he wanted to be a liaison between the U.S. Right. and Russia. And so his history with them goes back to the 80s, if not even farther, because if you look at even where his family owns a lot of their real estate in little Odessa in like Coney Island. So like his family has had a connection with Russia since the father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when you're looking at the Facebook business with Russia and these fake accounts, they had people going to actual rallies. These fake Russian accounts had Americans rallying in the streets, anti-immigration, anti-Muslim rallies. And I think that when all the dust settles, we need, as Americans and as citizens, we need to figure out what do we want to do with these people? Because
what people? What are you talking about? Those people that went to the fake, went to the
ones that are going to rallies right now. They are maybe unwittingly agents of Russia, but they're agents of Russia. Like we literally have millions of sleeper cells of Russians in this country. Mm-hmm. Like even though they might not be like Russian citizens, they are like the Manchurian candidate for fucking like Putin right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that we haven't started really talking about, we know that when this investigation is over, we know they colluded. We know Russia's involved. This is fact. Or like, we don't even really need like Mueller to finish everything. We already know this. We just need him to tie it in a little bow so then we can have somebody to prosecute. But now, you know what I mean? But like now, once that happens, where do we go forward? Because if we don't start saying, hey, you know something? You can't just be an agent for Russia and be like, oh, my bad. We just hate Muslims. Like,
yeah, but so let me ask you this, though. Because it's still a Republican-controlled House and Senate. And if Mueller finds collusion, he finds obstruction of justice.
When?
Yeah, when. That all has to take place in the House. And it has to be verified in the Senate, too. And so you have those. You have this, an establishment has already proven itself to go along with any of the unconstitutional ideas that Trump has floated out there.
Mm-hmm,
if they don't go along with it, they don't denounce it, though. They,
right.
Yeah. They, and so if they've already proven themselves to be people that do not stand up for the Constitution, for party over, I mean, not party. Country over party. Then presenting that information.
Midterm elections.
Yeah, but what if he presents it before midterm elections?
I don't think he's going to.
He's really, and I really like this about it. He seems to be very methodical about going about this process.
Oh, of course.
He's like, he is.
Dotting every I, crossing every T.
Yeah, and I've like, because they have lawyers, they have expensive, high profile lawyers. And he wants to make sure, like, well, this is evidence. This is fact.
Right.
So whatever you are presenting to us, this is fact. And this is something that you really can't deny. And so I think he's doing that right now in these cases. But it still comes down to it's all. And also the thing is like the identification of a Republican that you're about to indict for obstruction of justice, a Republican that you're trying to impeach.
Right.
They don't want that on their long-term record.
No.
So it's got to be the midterm. But who knows in the midterm election? Who knows who we're going to gain seats?
I hope we will. Yeah. I think that we will. And I think that if anything, it's empowered the left or the Democrats to say that we need to win these seats if we want justice. And I don't know what justice looks like because we still have never really prosecuted a president before. So, we've never prosecuted a president.
First time for everything.
And that's the thing, like, you know,
this motherfucker think he's going to pardon himself.
Yeah.
He really does. Yeah. Did you see him float that idea? Yeah. Like, I can pardon myself. No, you can't, dummy.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
That's the thing.
It is not that kind of loophole, dummy. It's not going to happen like that.
To be honest with you, my biggest fear is that the investigation isn't over until, you know, the four years, and he's about to have to give up, and then he decides he doesn't want to leave.
I think they can pressure him to leave. Like, Nixon didn't want to leave either. But I think Nixon tried to hold on to the home, and then the Republicans came to him.
Yeah, but he's batshit crazy. Like, Nixon was just a little crazy.
Yeah, but the pressure.
Batshit crazy.
This is the same thing in a sense. They came to Nixon and said, hey, we are fucking impeach you if you don't resign. That's the only option you have, is to resign. We're going to fucking impeach you. And for a person like Trump that's narcissistic and want all the accolades and never takes any blame for anything, he doesn't want to be impeached. Impeachment means you're not a good candidate. We think that you did something illegal, whatever, whatever.
It means he's fired.
So he's going to step down. He's going to make some outrageous reason why he stepped down. But he's going to step down.
Like, so I would agree with you on that point, except for the fact that we know that Clinton was impeached and he didn't step down. And Clinton got elected for a second term after being impeached.
Because he's a Democrat, for one. And secondly,
he was
because it was
banging a girl.
Right, he just lied about a BJ.
He lied about a BJ.
Yeah, he lied about something that was like a...
But
Trump, if it comes down to collusion and all the history of that you are saying that this is a hoax, the fact that you're saying that you didn't collude, saying that you didn't have any association with Russia, that's a bigger issue than if you got your dick sucked.
No, a much bigger issue than that. Still, it was impeachment. And like before, because I guess my worry is that before Nixon, impeachment was the biggest hurdle that a president worried about. It's like, oh, I can't be impeached. What happens if you get impeached? And Clinton proved that you can be impeached. You can stay in office and you can run for another term. And I kind of think that because he's so insane and because he doesn't even believe
Trump
is so insane and that he doesn't believe that any of this is real and that he also has surrounded himself by generals, like, this is like coup 101. Like, any sort of dictatorship begins when they're first elected and then they surround themselves with all of the heads of military and then they own the military. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this is what I worry about, is that we're going to say that he, like, you know, we can impeach him. He doesn't have to even resign if we impeach him, but that he just says, oh, you know something? Well, me and all my generals, we own the army now, and now we're invading your streets. Like, I'm worried that he is that fucking crazy.
I could see that, but I think we do have more checks and balances than, say, like Venezuela did. And I think when it comes down to it, because we have more checks and balances than that, and also the generals think this motherfucker is batshit crazy. Kelly, his
chief of staff, yeah,
thinks he's fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Do you see every time he does a speech and you shoot to
he's
Kelly's
holding
face,
his head.
This motherfucker he's holding his arms, like, he's covering his head, he's like shaking his head, he's like, ah! You know, how many times has he said to himself in his head, like, this motherfucker?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he said that a million times. Yeah. This, because it is so not normal.
There's an account that does, I think, weekly, and it says like something like 277 days of Donald Trump. A reminder to you, this is not normal.
Yeah.
And so this is not normal. This is not what we've ever been used to.
277 days?
I don't know what it is. I mean, something like that. But it is close to that because it's almost a year now.
Yeah.
It's fucking close. So it's a reminder that this is not normal. He's not, nothing that we've ever seen before.
No.
And so, and then this was, it's also, this is only good for one. Trump is only good for one reason. And I'll say this. He's only good for one reason. Proving that our Constitution, how this country is set up, is it has enough checks and balances that a president can't go go dictator. He's trying to prove that wrong. He's the proof. He, if anybody's trying to do it, he's trying to do it, and we have to find. And if it comes down to it, and hopefully 2018, we see those loopholes that he could try to filter in to become a dictator,
right.
And we shore those up. But he is, and we need that. We need to make sure that because Venezuela's and Turkey. And all these other countries that have gone dictator, we need to make sure that our country is dictator proof.
Right.
That our Constitution is dictator proof, that our checks and balances are dictator proof.
Yeah.
And so he is trying those systems. And the only good thing about him being in power is that we're going to find out where we find our weaknesses, where we need to shore up these weaknesses in within our Constitution.
Yeah.
Just the fact the emolument clause, where he's profiting off being a president. We got to shore those up.
Yeah,
immediately.
No, that should be enough that he gets impeached anyway. But and I'm sorry to do this because this is, you know, this is my jam and I love talking about this stuff. But we're gonna have to take a quick break before we start our next
segment.
Baby,
take your break.
But before we go, where can everyone follow you on social media? What gigs do you have coming up? Your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Well, the big show that I'm coming up is the New York Comedy Festival, which is going to be, and I have my hour show. It's coming up November 9th, and you can follow me at patbrownshow.com. Pat Brown Show. Also on any social media other than Snapchat, Pat Brown Show. So look for me there and come out to my show on November the 9th during the New York Comedy Festival.
And where is it? Where's the
show? Oh, it's going to be at the Creek in the Cave.
At the Creek in the Cave.
Yeah.
All right. That's Pat Brown. I'm Marissa Smith. This is Big Talkin' Brewskies. We're taking a quick break, you guys. We'll be right back.
Thank you for having me.
Park.
Hey.
Bodniscan Park was a great black shark.
Hey.
Mama was a rolling stone. She had to find her own. Things are going funny corner. She a carry things across the border. Red Alley for slaughter. Six pitney for feed your honor.
Hey.
And everyone in this life has made mistakes. Temptations pushed up in my face. Find it hard not to take a test. Everyone in this life has made mistakes. Temptations pushed up in my face. Find it hard to take a test.
And they say, you should by us, little baby. Don't you say a word. Mama's gonna turn those tricks and buy you that Mockingbird. So don't you say a word. Buy you that Mockingbird. Don't you say a word. Buy you that Mockingbird. So now what? What happens now? That you are no longer here and we are left to miss you. So now what? What happens now? That you are gone. So now what? What happens now? That you are no longer here and we are left to miss you. So now what? What happens now? That you are gone. So now what? What happens now?
Yeah, big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're back. This is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. I've got Rodna Daniels still with me.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
And Darian Dorham with us.
Hi, guys.
So, Darian, how was your week?
It was long.
Yeah. What made it drag on so much?
Just, I've been in rehearsals all week.
Oh, cool. What are you in rehearsals for?
I'm doing a school production of The Last Days of Judas Iscariot.
Okay.
At Atlantic Theater.
Nice. What are you playing?
I'm playing St. Monica.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
The play's about, the trial of Judas.
Okay.
And if he should be stuck in hell, or does he deserve to go to heaven?
Oh.
So, what is, I guess, it's an interesting concept, but, like, what was the thing that you found most surprising about the play?
It really questions, like, if Judas was, like the betrayer. And it really, at the end of the play, it makes you question Jesus.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know.
Really thought-provoking.
It is. Yeah. Very thought-provoking.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's awesome. So now that you've done the play, what are your thoughts?
It hasn't went up yet.
Okay.
We're still in rehearsal. And my thoughts on Judas is I think he was like a good guy.
That's interesting.
Ooh. Yeah. It changed your perspective much?
It was like, yeah. But I wasn't like big on religion. I had to like look everything up.
Right, right.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people knew about the story. I'm like, had no clue.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now what made you feel like Judas was a good guy?
Because the way the trial was set up, and at the end of the day, Jesus, he forgave everyone, the Romans, Caiaphas, but he didn't forgive Judas.
Right.
And that was like what his, one of the first apostles. Mm-hmm. So it just made me like, he forgave everyone else, but Judas.
So you thought Jesus was being petty?
Yeah, basically. He was being a little petty.
All right. So now, are you originally from New York?
No. I am from Georgia, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad was in the military, so I moved around, like, all my life.
Okay, nice.
And I spent, like, I've been in New York for, like, 2 years, and I spent the last, like, 4 years in Georgia.
Say, what are the biggest differences that you see in Georgia and New York?
People down there are super sweet and slow.
Like,
they're super
slow
sweet.
As in?
Just, like, they move slow. They do everything slow. They talk slow. Yeah.
So, which one do you like better?
God, I love the prices of Georgia. Yeah. Like, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
But I love New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it here. Vibe. And I don't think I can move back.
I mean, I don't see why you would want to.
Right.
I mean, because I lived in the South as well. I lived in South Carolina and Charleston. And I love it. It's the pace of life is just like, you know, relaxed. But there's just something about the energy here. It's like that go get 'em, you know, environment.
Yeah.
That just kind of like sticks to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people can't.
Well, it is like one of those things. It's like either you love New York or you hate New York. One or the other.
Every friend that I had come and visit me, they hate it.
Hate New York?
They hate New York. I had one friend who stayed with me over the summer, and she could not do the trains, and she took a cab every day.
Oh, because it's like underground?
Yeah, it was just like high, and she just didn't.
I'm not.
My little sister can't do the trains either. She came to visit, and she's like, oh my God, I can't. This is just. too much.
I mean, I do them now and then, but like I don't do the trains after a certain night, but that like after a certain time of night, but that's more of a safety issue.
Yeah.
Like that's not like not that I enjoy doing the subway, but like I'll do the subway, but like I feel like 9-10 o'clock, like that's my cutoff. It's just like
I enjoy the subway as much as like I complain about it, like, you know, just like in general, but like I like the fact that like I don't have to have a car. Like, I lived in L.A. for 8 years before I moved here, and, like, there, you have to have a car. It is a car city.
I just don't like the fact that you're in a death tunnel.
I mean, well, I don't think about it like that, a death tunnel. That's going to fuck my commute up tomorrow. Here we go into this death tunnel.
Exactly.
I mean, but there's always an escape out of the death tunnel, though, right?
And like then you gotta walk down the
oh
death
god
tunnel
with the rats,
with the rats,
with the rats,
and then the tunnel people, and then you don't know how long you gotta go down there until
tunnel
you find
people.
Yeah, the tunnel people. There's people that live in the subways, like in the tubes and shit.
Damn. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's like, you know, shelter.
Yeah.
Amongst the rats, there's so many rats. Like I can only like you see them like out, just like
there's
out.
More rats
so can
than
you imagine like how many rats are just underground, like in the darkness?
I think there's and we might have to have a fact check on it, but I feel like there's 10 rats to every person in New York City. I think that's the statistic.
Yeah. Ugh.
Radio Rima is going to fact check us.
On how many rats per capita are there in New York?
In New York City. I really think it's 10 rats per person.
Oh, God. That's so many fucking rats.
And then have you ever heard of, I think it's called a Rat King?
Rat King. Yeah, it's a TV show, right?
No, it's like a rat that, like, all the rats' tails have gotten all, like, tied in together with the poo and whatnot.
I think.
And
what?
Like, okay, so Radio Ream is going to break
in. We have
so
an
we've
answer.
Got a fact that's been checked.
It's like, there's a bunch of myths, but the closest one I got from 2014, 5 rats per person.
5 rats per person in New York City.
33.6 million
rats in 2014, which I think that we're probably closer to like maybe like at least 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, probably. Stop saying that. I love my General Tso's chicken lunch special, okay? Like, for real.
Yeah, so, going back to the Rat King. So, basically, what happens is that, like, the rats, they live in, like, nests or whatever, and that's, like, filthy and gross. And so, eventually, if they, like, don't move around and separate, their tails get, like, kind of tied together so that it's just becomes, like, one big, massive ball of a rat. And that's called, like, a Rat King.
I want to see a picture.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Just Google.
God.
Yeah, that's well,
so
you guys
like what clogs up the L train?
Yeah.
That's Rat is Kings.
Gross. Rat Kings. Let me see here. Were you a 22-year-old virgin?
I am.
You are a 22-year-old virgin.
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations. So, now, what made you decide that you were going to remain a virgin?
I just haven't came across the right person.
Okay.
Yet. It's not like a...
Like you're waiting for marriage?
It's not like I'm waiting for marriage.
Okay.
Because I probably won't get married.
Okay.
But... Yeah, it just hasn't.
Have you gotten close or?
No.
All right, so I'm about to get so nosy up in this bitch right now. I got so many questions.
So many questions. Right, because really, all we get is hoes up in Big Talking Brewskis. I'm the biggest one, I can tell you that.
Okay, so now, like. When you say you have not gotten close, like, what is the closest is not close?
Well, I dry humped a couple of times, but that was just...
Okay,
was about it.
All right, but you've at least,
I've gotten ate and out twice.
Okay.
Have you had oral sex? Yes.
What? Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, you're 22. Like, wait a little. Wait a little. Just wait. It'll happen. You probably just haven't found the right dude yet.
Yeah.
But, or I'm assuming dude, but you haven't found the right tongue. So now my other, so now have you given oral sex?
No.
Okay.
You've never sucked a dick?
No.
Wow. I'm sorry. For me, it's life changing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's okay. Okay, have you seen a dick?
I have.
Okay, you felt a dick.
One time.
Okay, under the clothes or outside of the clothes?
Outside.
Okay.
Was it cut or uncut?
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
I don't know. I was just, yeah.
Oh.
I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, okay. Now, do you have, like, a curiosity about it? Like, or is it just, like, you feel like if you unleash the beast, then things are going to happen?
I feel like if I unleash the beast, then it's just, like, things are going to pop off.
All right. Because, I was 18 when I lost my virginity. And so I was almost 19. I was, like, a couple of months away from being 19. And... But, I had never actually, physically seen a penis or held one until, the summer between high school and college. And so, I went on this, dick tour for, that summer. Like, I feel like I just wanted to, lose my virginity before I went to college because I didn't want to tell people I was a virgin. But, it never happened. Because, nobody was, everyone was just like, oh, well, I don't want to be your first because that's really heavy. Or, I don't want to be your first because I'm, it's like we should be, you should be doing that with somebody you love or you're in a relationship. But, that whole summer, I went clubbing. I went to, wherever. I was just trying to get laid because I just wanted to not go into college being a virgin. But it didn't happen. The only thing that happened was I ended up seeing a dick for the first time.
Oh.
And
somebody just whipped it out?
No, like, we were fooling around, and then, like, you know, first it was, like, all over Gene stuff, because I was like, ah, like, you know, if you take it out, they're going to want to use it. Like, you know. She knows what I'm saying. So, like, and so then it was just kind of like, all right, well, I just want to, like, just rip the Band-Aid off, get this done. And so then I remember, like, we took it out, and then I was just like, oh, I don't think it's supposed to be that little, like.
Oh. Whoa. Like, how just, little are we talking?
Oh, it was like this.
Oh.
Like, you know, it was like one
a
of those.
Thin one?
Yeah, it was thin and short. It, like, it was probably like four and a half, 5 inches, but real thin. And so I was just
hard,
like...
Hard 4.5 inches.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so, like, then I was just like, oh, like, I'm not going to waste my virginity on this. Like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Wasted. Wasted on 4.5 inches of penis.
Like, you know what I mean? I can't, like, undo my virginity. Like...
This is true.
You know what I mean? It's just,
I mean, but,
like,
you know, it's a delicate balance, because you don't want to be like, oh, shit, first... I'm losing it. It's like 10 inches.
No, 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 inches. No. I still won't fuck around with 12 inches. No. I'm little. Yeah. Where's that going?
Like, you want to stick that in me?
Where?
No.
Where is it going? I am not a shish kebab. But, yeah. So, like, I don't...
I know. Well,
he's
no.
Like, well, I'll figure it out. I'll move.
We could find something to do with it. You
like,
know,
I'll move some organs around. I didn't need that spleen. It was just taking up space.
Oh my goodness!
It's like, no. It's like, yeah, because I feel like you can't just, like, casually fuck a big dick. Like, you have to marry a big dick.
Yeah, because it feels like...
Because then where do you go from there? And then, like, what's the likelihood that you're going to find this again?
I mean, there's a lot of big dicks floating around, actually.
Well, they're all gay.
Yeah, yeah. Right, because the women won't take them. All the girls say I'm too big, shit.
And he's like, well, I'm adventurous. Come on, fella. Like,
let's try it.
It's like, oh, no. It's like, you're not breaking me in half, no.
Butthole never be the same again.
Oh. Oh, God. I can't even.
I mean, well, you know, it's a process.
Yeah. No. So, now, have you, like, met anyone that you thought that you were, like, kind of, like, on the verge, and then they kind of turned, like, you were just
no.
Like, no.
No.
Just, like, no.
No.
Well,
not even close.
What's, like, your, the biggest problem that you're finding with guys?
Me not liking them. Like, guys just, like, don't have any personality or just something off about them. Because I was talking to a guy when I first moved out here, and he lived in Harlem. He had two baby mamas, all this stuff. And
oh, that's already, like...
No.
Yeah, you're taking 2 steps back. I know.
I love the kids.
Come on. Harlem is gentrified, okay? Like, you could find some quality men in Harlem. Possibly.
No. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. That's a problem. Like, what about, like, do you are meeting, like, are you in school or?
I'm in school.
Okay. Like, are you meeting guys in school?
My school's mostly predominantly female.
Okay.
It's like 5 guys maybe.
All right.
In my year. Oh,
okay.
And it's just.
You're not feeling that.
I don't. I go to an acting school and I don't really want to date an actor.
I feel you. I'm a comic and I can't really date anymore comics. I mean, I can, but I shouldn't.
Right. I've never dated a comic. I mean, even though we met a really cute one last week.
Did we?
Yeah. What's the buff? The buff black guy? That was like talking to us out front?
I don't remember.
Oh, we're gonna figure this out because he wanted to do the show. So he wanted to come on Big Talk, and you know he was buff and black and a comedian and gay, and I was intrigued. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I could date another comedian though. I feel like they would, you know, it's a person, right, and a job, and I feel like they'd be able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but
it's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But okay. You know, I've dated actors and singers. I feel like comics are a little bit easier than actors. I do, just because I think comics are. The bottom line, we still just want to make people laugh. So I think that there's still like a lot of like laughter, even if there's nothing around it. That's the problem, is that like I feel like when you date a comic, like you guys are like laughing all the time. And then like all of a sudden, you, like a couple months in, you're just like, oh, you have no core values. Okay. And then, like, I feel like actors, it's just, like sometimes they can be, like, so serious about their craft.
Oh,
like,
God.
You know. Yeah. Yes. And so I'm just like, oh. You know, like, I've taken some acting classes and, like you know, with the breathing and they're like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, yeah. And I'm just standing there like, all right. And like, my acting, coach was just like, oh, aren't you going to warm up? And I know the lines. I'm good. Just send me in, coach.
Yeah, I feel like, warmed up.
They're like, oh, but you need to stretch your instrument. I'm like, yeah. Like, it's like, what's happening right now? And I'm like, and why isn't there another comic in here to watch this with me? Like,
it is. Yeah.
It's real, you know, funny.
The things we do in class, it's. If anybody else was to look inside of it, they'd be like, these motherfuckers are
crazy as shit.
Are weird as fuck, right?
Like, yeah. And like bird calls. I'm just like, cuckoo, right. Cuckoo. I'm just like, whoa.
No, you like, have to play
this. Isn't
like,
this Macbeth? What the fuck are you guys doing?
Right. Like, no. Because they do give you, like, some really weird, like, crazy games to play and shit.
We do weird shit.
Yeah. I used to have to, like, I had this, like, cast, like, we used to always, like, lay down, everybody closes their eyes, and you try to count to 10. Like, one person would say 1, and you have to wait for the other person to say 2.
Oh, I've played that.
You have to wait for the other person to say 3. But if, like, if two of you say 3 at the same time, you got to
start over.
Do you know how fucking hard it is to do that with, like, 15 people?
Yeah. Like...
So at a certain point, you just, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to say 1.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, it's a lot.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just like, and like the, like a jaws. And I'm
like, yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? It's and like, and everybody's looking at me like I'm the weird one. I'm like, oh, apparently you people don't have mirrors up in this bitch. Like, it's just like, whoa. Just like, just, it was crazy. I was just like, oh, like, I don't feel like, because I feel like comics, we're crazy, but we can, like, hang and, like, we have a good time hanging. But I don't feel like comics are anywhere near as crazy as actors. Like, when I'm around a bunch of actors, I'm just like, oh, my God, where are my comics? And, like, actors are definitely more, I feel like you're more social in a sense than comics, because, like, comics, we can be in a room together and nobody says shit. You're just like, hey, hey. And we're just in our own little pockets. Yeah. And don't really, but with like actors, like, so I went on this audition last week. Oh my God. And you're just like, all right, just why are you talking? Like, yeah. This is quiet time. We all need a little quiet time.
Yeah. Like, plus it's like more inclusive with like actors. If it's like, if that's your cast and like you guys all want to get like close to each other and get to know each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're a comic, it's just like, I'm about to get up there and do my set. I don't give a fuck what you guys are doing. Like,
yeah.
Like,
we're all like missionaries.
We cannot talk, like.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We're like guns for hire. Yeah. But like actors, it's like I feel like,
except for when I'm hosting. Like when I'm hosting, I feel like I have to. Well, yeah. I gotta walk around and get to know like everybody.
Yeah.
Like
that's
all the comics.
I don't like hosting.
That's why everybody's like, I hate hosting. And I was like, I kind of like this a little bit, but that's like the actor in me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm pulling the whole show together a little bit. Like
you're just like, I'm the glue that holds this all together.
Hell yeah.
Like, and I'm just like, so like, just tell me when I need to go up there. It's like, and why is everybody talking to me? I'm practicing my jokes in my head. Stop talking. Wait, where was I? Damn you.
Like, right.
So now, how do you, have you experienced any sort of mental illness or trying to, like, how your family treats people with mental illness?
I just think with mental illness, it's like, in the Black communities, it's very taboo to have, where I'm from, how I grew up, the friends that I've had, it's like very taboo to have, to be depressed, to have anxiety, any of that shit. It's just like, if you don't suck that shit up and keep moving on.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And I feel like that needs to change a little bit.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because depression's real. Because
that shit's
real
as fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, especially, so, and I kind of understand it because, like, granted, I know that we all come from different backgrounds, but we all share a culture. And so I feel like, you know, you're from, like, down south, you're from, like, west, I'm from New York, and, like, I feel like all of our families probably all have the same idea, like, oh, you think this is bad? Well, they used to lynch us, and this, you know what I mean? And you need to suck
it
up.
Who'd you depress for?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, like, you know, it's just because you kids just have it so good that, you know, but at the same time, like, how are you not depressed right now? Even white people are depressed right now. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, how, it's like crazy to think that we wouldn't be depressed. It's like, we literally have like Nazis and KKK like marching in the streets, no fucking masks. Back in your day, they at least had the decency to cover their fucking face.
Right.
Put a damn sheet on. Now it's like, they're like, oh no, like, we're just gonna have our face all out there in plain daylight. You know? And it's just like, but like, we're not supposed to be depressed about it. Like, I don't know. And I guess like my question is because we're going to have to set the tone and the pace for the kids that come behind us. So like, how do we change the conversation? Like, I try to be active about talking about therapy on this show to kind of like, normalize
open,
it
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
and open that dialogue like, and that conversation, because I don't think that anybody should feel stigmatized because they go to therapy or that they need therapy. Like, at least let you know that you need to work on something and you're trying.
Sidebar, how is the new therapist?
I like the new therapist.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the new therapist. So I broke up with my old therapist like Labor Day weekend, and then I have a new therapist now. But she's good. Like, you know, the conversation is good.
Okay, great.
You know.
Glad she's not texting during sessions and shit.
No, she's not texting during sessions.
She shows up on time.
On time, not leaving to get coffee. You know, like my old therapist was doing some shit.
Yes, like I'm paying you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, mental illness is like real, and then the Black community and the Latin community too, I feel like, is definitely like
and
a stigma. And Asians, like,
yeah.
Really, white people are the only people that accept that shit.
Like, yeah.
Everybody else is just like, you are not crazy. Oh, God damn it.
It's just like, oh, what's wrong with you? Suck it up.
Suck it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. If you don't go outside,
you know
and make
what
some
people
friends.
Have been through.
Yeah. But like, how do we? Because like, for me, I've. My only thought of how to help the future kind of get over that huddle is to just talk about it and be open about
yeah.
it. You know what I mean?
Start
how
dialogue.
Does your mom know that you do? Did she go to therapy and stuff? How did she respond to that?
I think that, like, that she's
okay with it, but I don't think she loves it. You know what I mean?
And then she like, don't tell nobody at the bridge.
It's like
she wanna it's play like, bridge and pinochle. Like I'm not telling what Marissa's doing.
You know, it's like you know, and like well, what do you guys talk about? Like you know, but it's I think that she accepts it, and I think that she. Thinks that it's good that I'm trying to work on things, but I think that she doesn't necessarily, like, gets it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, that's...
You've gone to therapy, right?
No, I've never gone to therapy.
You've never gone to therapy?
No, never gone to therapy. I mean, but being gay, I feel like that's, like, something that my parents, like, kind of get, but, like, don't really get, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when I was, like, engaged earlier in the year, it was, like, the whole, like, the family went through it a little bit. Like, some of them, like, my sister-in-law wasn't, like, all for it. And then my mom was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to, like, go to a gay wedding and deal with it. And, like, you know, it's, like, something, like, they don't really, like, talk about. Everybody knows that Rodney's gay. And I, like, but, like, when I was about to get married, everybody was like, oh, shit, Rodney's really gay.
But, like...
You know,
it's like
so it's like you
it's
know
like, well,
now,
just be happy you didn't see how we got engaged, so
like, right? Or who I got engaged to, how that ended up, please.
But like, but you would think that like your family would just want you to settle down and fall in love. And...
That's exactly what I was thinking when like, you know, when the time period happened. Not to say they weren't like accepting of it or whatever, but
I mean, it was fast,
still,
but
like,
just
it was very
like,
fast. And then it was like kind of like a shock that like now, cause I guess it's like, oh yeah, Rodney's gay, but you don't ever like, I don't bring guys home. You don't see me making out with guys. Like, yeah. You don't. So you don't really think that until...
They never met your other boyfriend?
They met, like, one boyfriend, but he was a friend then.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's my friend.
Okay.
Like...
Yeah.
Not like, this oh, yeah, we get married, this is my husband, we got to sit through a wedding, a gay wedding.
Well...
I mean, not the same thing wrong with
gay
weddings.
Gay wedding is a wedding, just funner.
Right, yeah. With more sparkle. I mean, but, you know, it's like one of those things, like, where people are coming around, but, like, still, there's still that, like, underlying issue, you know?
Yeah. No. Like, have you gone to therapy or thought about it? Or?
I thought about it, but I never, you know, just never went. I should go.
I feel like everybody should go. And honestly, like, even if it's just to kind of... In these times, especially because like if you don't feel like you're going fucking insane, you're not paying attention. Like that, I just kind of feel like every single day, some more shit happens. Like just for me alone, just the mere fact that every single day, and I'm like, so is North Korea bombing us today, or is it tomorrow, or is it the day after that? Like that alone, it's like what happens. If we get bombed, like, and I know for some people, like, that's just like, oh, well, you're being ridiculous. Like, no, we live in ridiculous times. Like, look at our president, look at their leader. Like, you know, we live in ridiculous times. So for me, that alone, it's like, well, what happens, like, if LA gets bombed? Like, what happens to the people? Then they're going to have to migrate and then they're going to come east, right? Like, because we're as far away as you can get without getting bombed. Then, like, imagine another, like, 8 million people in the city on top of the 8 million people that are already here. Like, you know
oh,
what I mean?
Shit. LA people, shit. Too, at that.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like they're going to be all, like, even super skinnier than they already are because they didn't eat while they're crossing the country. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, they're all, like, fucking cheekbones and silicone. Like
right, you think Brooklyn's gentrified now? Shit,
it's like wait
yoga
till it's
mats
LA.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah,
It's like, fuck that.
Whatever. We say that now, but once this winter hits, LA folks ain't like, ready for that
shit. Let me go and find some skinny ass man to start like tuck up underneath me.
Like, and what
you
the
can
fuck
fit up a, underneath this one.
10 degrees. Yeah. That's coming. It got cold.
It does get cold. They'll never last through our winter.
You'll never last.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So have you ever gone through any body image issues?
Yes. I think social media influences like a lot of younger people that they have to look a certain way. So like when I was like 18, I was like, oh my God, I need to get fucking lipo. I was 18 trying to get lipo.
Yeah.
Like, that shit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you could just work out.
I think it's getting better with all these, like, love your body campaigns that's going on. But, like, a few years back, if you didn't have, like, even now still, like, if you don't have, like, a flat stomach and a big old ass and hips and shit, like.
Yeah, like, no. You're not poppin'. Ironically, when I lived in L.A., that's, like, when I was, like, working out constantly, just on a regular basis, just because of there everybody is fit and everybody like it's like camera ready and looks like a certain way and plastic. Yeah, and New York is just like it's really real here.
It is.
Like, yeah, nobody. That's why I love it.
Like nobody gives a shit. Right? Nobody gives a fuck. You work out. You work out. That's great. You don't work out. That's fine too.
Right.
Yeah. You eat pizza in the middle of the night.
That's good.
I'm down for that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like nobody really cares.
But in the industry that we're in, though, you're an actor.
Yeah.
We're comedians. Like, do you feel the pressure of like trying to look a certain way?
I feel the pressure definitely. To lose weight, to be like not super like skinny, but like super fit as fuck. Yeah.
I feel like it's like more pressure for like actors as opposed to like comedians, because comedians, I feel like you could be like.
Well, I think that I think it's different for men than it is for women, and I think that you know, like look at Kathy Griffin. Like, she's in her 50s, and she's, like, a size 00 if she's 2 pounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that a lot of the, you know, granted, you have your Roseannes, but even Ellen is fit. Like, you know, I think that for female comedians, a lot of them tend to be on the slender side to athletic build, but just kind of... you won't see like a John Goodman of female comics.
That's very true.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Very true.
You're not
like, even like Amy Schumer is like the like full figured comic, but she's not even that full figured.
Yeah, like, she's like an 8.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, but like people will call her like overweight because she's an 8. Because they're expecting to see like a 0 or a 00.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me, I do feel pressure about how I look as a comic, but I think that my pressure kind of comes in a different sense where I feel like because my material tends to be a little bit, more cerebral and a little bit, more like thought provoking, and it's not just like, oh my God, I had a train last night. Ha ha ha. Like I feel like I have to kind of tone myself down more because like, you know, if I were out like boobs out, ass out, like nobody's going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to my jokes. They're not going to listen to like political satire. They're not going to listen to social commentary. So I feel like I had to kind of like cover myself up more and like, you know, like I can't, like, you know, like sometimes I would like to wear that little like slinky little thing and
whatever.
Sexy Marissa coming out.
But like, if I go out there dressed like that, then they're only listening for dick jokes, or they're only listening till I shut up and they're imagining just fucking me. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like I would have to only be telling sex jokes to, and people would be like, oh, that's funny. And sometimes I think, like, had I gone that route, like, I would probably be, like, more popular or more famous or whatever, because, like, I feel like in comedy, like, female comics are either the slut or completely untouchable. So it's, like, either they're completely, like, so, like, unsexy that you're like, oh, yeah, I believe that one would never get laid. Or it's just like, oh, I'm going to fuck that one in the bleachers. Like, it's like there's not really, we don't have that many voices.
Okay.
But I feel like as an actress, like I'm like, a size 4. And when I get like casting notices, like a lot of times it'll be for like a plus size person. And it's like, and that, like, every time I read that, I'm just like, ugh. Like, what do you, like, you know, because I used to be, like, overweight as a kid. And so,
yeah,
like,
I was too.
Yeah. So, like, in high school, when I was 15, I was a size 16. And so, like, and now I'm, like, down to a 4. So I lost a lot of weight. But, like, every time, like, I, like, or if, like, a modeling notice or something like that, and they're like, plus size model. And I'm just like, ugh. Like, you know, it's just like, it just hits that like fat kid that I'm like tucked behind myself that only eats bacon 3 times a week. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, ah, just eat all the bacon because you're plus size anyway, bitch. Like, and we're like, no, I can see my feet. Stop. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
You never lose that kid either.
No, that kid is
always
back
inside
there.
Of you.
That kid is always back there.
Eating cookies and drinking milk.
And you see it, I can identify that children, unlike the ones that have not gone to therapy. No, we gotta get out of here soon. So, if you could change one thing about how you're perceived as an actress and like how social media comes into play and how physically things come into play, like, what would you change?
I would change how black women are perceived as actors. Like, we don't, like, it's changing now, but like, we don't always have to have one of like the ratchet roles,
right?
Or, like, stereotypical roles,
drug addict, hooker,
yeah,
ghetto hood chick,
yeah,
drug dealer's girlfriend.
Yeah,
I would love to change that part of the industry.
Yeah,
sometime soon.
Thank you, Viola Davis.
Right.
Yeah.
And Viola, we trust.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's leading in that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely given a different mindset
to so many different like directors and writers,
mm-hmm.
and shit like that. Like, we can do more than just stereotypes.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kerry Washington's doing some of the work too.
She is.
Yeah.
She's like, seen something the other day. She's like number 8 on the Forbes list.
Oh, nice.
The highest paid actor. She made like $33 million.
Wow. She's doing
last year of a Scandal.
Yeah.
Scandal. So, kudos
last
there.
Last season, you guys watching?
I haven't yet. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. We got it. Reem is giving me the wrap the shit up. So, but before we go, like, where can everyone find you on social media? Projects you're working on?
Right now, you can come see my show that goes up Wednesday. This Wednesday, the 4th, and it closes on the 7th. At Atlantic Theater. And you can follow me on Instagram at Life.
What's the name of the play?
The name of the play is The Last Days of Judas Iscariot.
Okay.
You can follow me on Instagram as Life_Darien. That's D-A-R-I-A-N-E. Check out everything that's coming up new there.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Rhonda Daniels.
I am actually going to be hosting a show tonight at the Broadway Comedy Club, Fashion Funny, with the fabulous Marissa Smith. So, yes, we're about to go down to Broadway and tear it up, do our thing. So, yeah. And then all my dates for October, you know, Facebook, Rhonda Daniels, Instagram, Rhonda Daniels.
I am also going to be at Broadway Comedy Club, shortly, for Fashionably Funny. And on October the 7th, Merriment and Mortification at Auto Shrunken Head. Catch Big Talk and Brewskis every Friday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. Follow the show on Twitter at Big Talk and Brew. Follow me on Twitter at Marissa Smith. Have a great weekend, you guys. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And if you know any North Koreans, please tell them to tell their leader not to bomb us. See you next week. Love you. Bye.